friends and enemies. Welcome to the first Saturday release of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast mining update. The one and only Len, the legend, the hasher of the year. He's been doing these videos on YouTube every day or every 2 days for the last little while because there's been some desire from you guys to have sort of like a weekly or daily, semi-weekly roundup of equities, mining equities, things of that nature related to Bitcoin that sometimes don't fit in the show. So we're going to put these out on video, which you should check out on our YouTube channel for sure. And also I'm going to tie them all together and stick them on the audio feed every Saturday. So if you, feel like learning a bit about the mining ecosystem, seeing who's got the most hash rate, et cetera, while you're picking dandelions and cutting the grass, we got you covered. So I hope you enjoy this, sponsored as always by the mighty ShakePay, best place for Canadians to buy and sell, though you should never sell your Bitcoin. They got ShakePaid. If you use our promo code CBP, you can sign up and get a few Satoshi sent to your wallet every day just for shaking your device. Can't go wrong with that. They also have the Sats Back Visa. If you spend off your CAD balance, you can get 2% back on every purchase, no questions asked. And then, of course, the possibility that you're ShakePaid, which is pretty good, man. You might just get the whole purchase comped, which is I think pretty good of them to do. I got to be honest with you. Although I haven't had like a really big purchase comp yet, I think I'll continue to try and score like a grocery run for free. I'll let you know how that goes. Anyway, enjoy this and take care. Have a good weekend. The Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we're going to be talking about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is May 17th, 2022. And before we go any further, just want to make you aware that this show is sponsored by ShakePay, where you can buy, sell your Bitcoin. And if you use our referral code below, you will be rewarded with $30 of Bitcoin after purchasing $100 worth of Bitcoin. Also, if you use the referral code below, you will also get the ability to shake your phone for Satoshis, and also you could take advantage of ShakePay's ShakePaid contest that's going on right now, where if you use your ShakePay Visa card, where you get rewarded back Bitcoin with doing any purchases that you use your ShakePay Visa card, you could potentially get the whole thing ShakePaid and return back to you in Bitcoin. So not only will you get a portion of it returned back to you in Bitcoin, but you get the whole thing returned to you back in Bitcoin. So not too bad. Use our promo code below because it's a great way to help support our show. And there is quite a few things to talk about today because I'm going to be talking about a couple of items that happened yesterday and even last 2 weeks. So just something very important I just want to bring to your attention in the Bitcoin mining world. So with that being said, let's get hashing. All right, before we go any further, let's take a look to see who are the winners and losers. It's another red day. Just kidding. It was not a red day today. It's actually pretty green altogether. We have Iris Energy. We had their CEO on our show, Dan Roberts. Really good guy, really cool company. So they've, 20% up, almost 21% up for today. That's not a bad haul. Stronghold Digital. Wow, this is a huge jump, 18% considering how much they got beat down. So some time ago, I guess about a month ago, they announced that they weren't going to be reaching their estimated hash rate goals for this year, and the investors just pounded the crap out of their stock. And yeah, so finally they've rebounded 18%. Canaan, Bitcoin miners, ASIC miners company, so 14%. Coinbase, another one that just used to get wrecked on a daily basis, rebounding 13%. So all in all, like BTBT, I talked about them. I actually was saying we may want to stay away from them, given the fact a lot of the miners, their ASICs, is still on route to North America to be deployed. But they showed me I was wrong in my assessment, but this is just a one-day turnaround with an 11% upswing for today. So all in all, it was just about green all around. A few of them were red. Codebase Cypher Metaverse is now the new company, very much involved in the Web3 and whatever. So they got wrecked, 15%. See you later, buddy. Hello Pal, another one that they mine. I guess they mine a very, very small amount of Bitcoin, but they mine Doge and Litecoin and all that stuff. So yeah, it's interesting to see that these ones were the ones that were absolutely smoked for today. And Mawson Infrastructure, again, like, they are always either in the top of the heap in terms of leading the way for percentage gain, or at the very bottom, and they're close to the bottom today. I don't know what's up. It's always, you know, it's a cat and mouse thing. They're either at the very top or the very, very bottom. And today they're at the very, very bottom. And I guess tomorrow, I suppose they'll be near the top. It just, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but that's just what I foresee what's going to happen with them. So all in all, it's very much a green day all around. So that's fantastic. We need more days like this because we haven't had enough of them. And it's welcome news for us. And this is all with the price of Bitcoin relatively stable. Like, it did go slightly above 30,000, but it didn't, you know, go to 35K or whatever. So this is really good news. Is this a sign that Bitcoin miners are going to be turning around and we'll be moving on up for the next while? Who knows? We'll see how things play out. And before I go and talk about the news today, I just want to share a piece. This is a document actually that was shared with me from one of our very good and loyal supporters, Defiant, and you can find him on Twitter. In fact, and I'm just going to show you what his Twitter handle is. So it's Defiant Consultant One, at Defiant Consultant One, and really, really a huge Bitcoiner. And he shared with me a document that I just want to just share with you, and it's this document here. And I'm just going to try to hopefully go through it quickly, and I'll go through it slow enough that you can kind of pause and everything. So keep in mind, the prices are as of 13th of May, so it's still a little bit behind schedule. And this is comparing two different Bitcoin ETFs, DAM, D-A-M, and this was the more recent of the two Bitcoin ETFs that was released, and WGMI. So we're going to make it an estimate, the older of the two Bitcoin ETFs. So they primarily have Bitcoin miners in each of the two, and WGMI is more green friendly focused Bitcoin miner, so ETF. So keep that in mind. So as you can see the current price, what they are. This is as of the 13th of May, and this the inception date and the inception price. It gives you a little bit of detail about everything here, but just pay particular attention to the management fees. And I've mentioned this before in our channel, that DAM, or DAM, I'm going to call it in this video, is slightly lower than the WGMI. So if in the long run, you're probably going to get less eaten away in management fees using DAM. Not probably, you are. Then WGMI, and this based on the current management fees. These fees can obviously adjust over a period of time. In fact, Defiant was very kind to outline what happens if you put 100% into DAM and versus WGMI, and you can actually see the management fees, how it adjusts between the two. So if you have a 50-50 split or 75-25 in each of the two, this is how much it's going to cost if you invest $10,000 in each of the two different ETFs, and what's the management fees going to cost you over the period of 1 year. So you can see there is a slight variation between the two of them, and so take that for what it's worth. That may force you or make you more inclined to invest in DAM, and that's good news for if that's the case. And so I just want to go to the next slide here, or the next tab, I guess we'll call it a tab. And I gotta just say, Defiant did a really good job at just outlining all the information here. So you can see what are the holdings in each of the two. So they don't just have the miners, they also have supplies, exchanges, finances, and more. So, and you can see the breakdown of each. And he's very kind about actually putting some comments here. So hopefully this is big enough that you could soak in all the information here. Because there is lots that has to be digested. You could simply just pause it and go from there. Personally, I was always a bigger supporter of DAM than I was WGMI for two reasons. Number one is the fact that DAM is not limited to having more green friendly type Bitcoin miners. They're just getting what they perceive to be the best to include in their holdings. I like that. And the second, the management fees being slightly less. And as just, you know, in the longer run, you're going to come out on top if you're going to invest in a particular miner. And look, Stronghold Digital, I talked about them just a few minutes ago. Remember, this is the company that reuses the coal waste and repurposes that into energy to mine Bitcoin. Look at them. They're just, they're heavily weighted in WGMI, and they were absolutely smoked in the past year. So, yeah. So the daily performance, I'll go slowly through this because there's lots to digest. You could pause it as you wish. You could kind of see over time where the two different ETFs, how they evolve over time and how they differ. And I'm going to show you two charts on the side. So you could see how it looks here. And as for how this translates into a couple of charts, well, you can see the day-over-day prices versus the daily and the daily performance of the two different miners. You can see that DAM has slightly lower lows, but slightly higher highs too. They seem, but very much the two are tracking very closely to each other. Personally, in my opinion, I'd prefer to go with DAM over WGMI. That's just my personal opinion. Again, I mentioned the reason being is because of the management fees, and they're not constrained to using the ESG friendly type companies. And here's what's going to happen if you invest $1,000 in, and what you're going to get, the different weightings. That's really cool. I like that what he did here. Here's DAM versus WGMI, the versus the different holdings you're going to have and how the breakdown is going to be. And if you do 50-50 split, how it's going to look. I got to make it a little bit smaller. Hopefully you could all see it. And hopefully this gives you a better indication of what it is you could buy with each of the two. So there's 25.75. So really cool stuff. I appreciate exactly everything that Define has done. He's a good friend of the show. I suggest follow him. He's always having some very good insight into Bitcoin miners and these ETFs. He's a big fan of them. So I just wanted to bring that up before if we go any further. And leading things off, the first story I want to talk about is a really cool story that's coming out of Australia, and it's the Cosmos Purpose Bitcoin Access ETF. And it's an ETF that is going to be buying spot. It's a spot Bitcoin ETF that is a proxy to the Purpose Bitcoin ETF in Canada. And the linkage between Mossad and Cosmos, well, if you go down here, you can take a look that Cosmos Management was a spinoff of Mawson Infrastructure, and Mawson is the largest shareholder of Cosmos. So as this Bitcoin ETF goes in terms of popularity and success, Mawson is going to reap the rewards of that. And who's going to be custodying this? Well, this is obviously, it's well known, it's Gemini is custodying all the Bitcoin that is purchased from Purpose Bitcoin ETF. So the Cosmos ETF is simply a proxy to the Purpose Bitcoin ETF in Canada. So any investor in Australia that wants to buy Bitcoin, a spot Bitcoin ETF, they're doing so through the Purpose Bitcoin ETF, and the Bitcoin that is purchased is held in the trust of Gemini Trust Company. So I thought this was rather cool news, and there is a very strong correlation or linkage between Mawson and Cosmos Asset Management. So as this particular ETF goes in terms of popularity and success, Mawson is going to be reaping the rewards of that. So good stuff. It's too bad that, unfortunately, the price of Mawson didn't reflect this type of news. But we'll see tomorrow. They'll probably be leading the pack in terms of being one of the largest gains for tomorrow. We'll see what happens with Mawson. They're the top or the bottom, and today, unfortunately, they were the bottom. And moving on, I want to talk about a story about Bitfarms, and it's interesting. I just wanted to make sure that you're aware of what's going on in the Bitfarms camp, a company that I'm very happy with and bullish with, but just make sure you're fully aware of what the story is going on. And so Kevin Rook, I just want to give him credit here for bringing attention to this story. So they pledged 3,064 of their Bitcoin as collateral for their $100 million credit facility back in March, and they also added just now another 1,870. So that's of their 5,646 Bitcoin that's available, 4,934 is locked up for this credit. And he notes that if Bitcoin goes below 23,500, well, Bitfarms is forced to sell their Bitcoin or to use fiat to pay for their debt. So if this could potentially be catastrophic for Bitfarms if the price of Bitcoin does go below 23,500, because they're going to be in a bind to figure out how they're going to be paying for their debt. So This is very good find by Kevin Rook, and hopefully the price of Bitcoin doesn't get below 23,500 because it will be catastrophic for Bitfarms. And there's another piece of news that came out of Bitfarms. Their report for first quarter 2022 came out. I'm going to just simply pass over most of it. There's one thing in particular that I just want to point out is their expectations. They have capacity for 6 exahash of miners by the end of 2022, and this is lower. This has been an adjusted from their previous expectations. So they will have, they're capable of doing 7.2 exahash should they get all the miners and everything delivered. But if they, based on projected deliveries, 6.0 exahash is what you're going to be achieving by the end of 2022. So this is a bit of a setback. They're hoping to have ultimately up to 8 exahash if everything goes well by the end of 2022. But of course, given the fact we have some real concerns and real problems with supply chain issues, Bitfarms might be fighting an uphill battle to achieve that. So right now it looks like 6.0 exahash is going to be the targeted hash rate by the end of 2022 with capacity for 7.2 that's available, but there's going to be a little bit of a gap there in terms of what they have available and what is going to be hashing away. And they're hoping that they could even get to 8.0 exahash. So this is two not so bullish pieces of news from Bitfarms. Even though I say this, I'm still very bullish on the company. So yeah, so take that for what it's worth. If you are a Bitfarms investor or looking to be a Bitfarms investor, take this information into consideration, digest it, and hopefully that you could better be informed if you are going to be making a play with it. And moving on, I want to talk about Core Scientific. It's another company that I talk fondly of because they are the biggest Bitcoin miner out there, and they intend to remain over there, but they've adjusted their estimates, their hash rate estimates, very similar to what Bitfarms did. And let's get this spam ad out of the way. So they were hoping to achieve 40 to 42 exahash per second. And looks like they've adjusted that to 30 to 32 exahash per second. So that's a huge drawback from where they were. So that's, unfortunately, it's not the greatest news from Core Scientific, but still 30 to 32 exahash per second by the end of the year is still absolutely massive number. So if you're looking to buy one of the bigger Bitcoin miners, look at Core Scientific. This news obviously wasn't the greatest. It came out a few days ago, so the markets have digested this and spit out their thoughts on it. But the fact now it's been lowered a little bit, take that for what it's worth. So yeah, there you go. And moving on, talk about Coinbase. We talk about them, looks like every time I do one of these episodes, and this is another one. They came out with an update on their hiring plans moving forward. Well, the TLDR, they actually outlined it right here. They say to ensure we're best positioned to succeed during and after the current market downturn, we're announcing we're slowing hiring so we can reprioritize our hiring needs against our highest priority business goals. Essentially, they're going to be hiring less people based on what they were initially planning to hire. What this means for the bottom line is it's a slowdown and things are not looking great for Coinbase. There you go. If you are a Coinbase investor, take this into consideration because it doesn't look all that great moving forward with this company. And remember, there was talk the last time I did a video of them making reference to bankruptcy and what happens to their assets. Should there be a declaration for bankruptcy? So, you know what? If there's smoke, there's fire. And just keep that in mind because, you know, there seems to be some smoke here. And I'm not saying there is a fire that we have to extinguish, but who knows? There may be one that's burning away that we just don't see it because there is some smoke over there. I'd be concerned if I was a Coinbase investor, even though they had an awesome day today. They've jumped up like a huge amount in comparison to their peers, but also in comparison to their last few weeks where it's, you know, just continuous drawdown. This might just be a short-term, you know, dead cat bounce type deal. So don't be too bullish on just what happened today. Long-term question marks surrounding Coinbase, given the fact that, you know, they're not hiring as many people as they were before. Plus, they were talking about bankruptcy plans, what, you know, contingency plans they have for investors and people that have their assets on their exchange. So I don't know. Be very careful if you're a Coinbase investor, and be very careful if you intend to be a Coinbase investor. And the final piece of news I want to talk about is from Hive, and it's really nothing too big. It's just an announcement from them. They have the corporate update webcast coming out, and they say that they urge investors to sign up today and participate in the corporate update. Not sure exactly if there's going to be big news. They're talking about consolidation. I'm not exactly sure what this means. Is it something to do with they're going to be doing a reverse split to make sure that they could maintain their position on the NASDAQ, because NASDAQ has a requirement of a certain price, and if they're in danger of not meeting that goal, a reverse split is needed to ensure that you're above that threshold. I don't know. It looks like that this is something that they're highly encouraging people to participate if you're an investor, but also if you're not an investor, try to get information about this, because this is something that looks like it might impact your decision moving forward with Hive. And Hive tends to not get a lot of love. They mine a fair bit of Bitcoin. And this is in conjunction with the Ethereum that they mine. So they mine, from what I recall, around to 200 to 250 Bitcoin per month. And they mine a lot of ETH, which if you convert it to Bitcoin, their Bitcoin that they mine per month, the equivalent Bitcoin they mine per month, is in the low 400s, which is really, it's a respectable amount. So Hive tends not to get a lot of love in the by investors. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to be considered that the fact that they mined ETH, and they're using that the equivalent of, when they convert it to Bitcoin, they're using the equivalency, the price equivalency. So still, you know, it's something that I think that that Hive is getting a raw deal in terms of getting noticed by investors. That's just my two cents. I think that they're a decent company. I don't have any issues with them, and I think that this is something that, should they get proper consideration, the price of their stock should be much, much higher. That's just my two cents, and it could be wrong. And that's it. That's all I have to say for today. I hope you found this to be very informative. I'm going to be posting the link for that spreadsheet that Defiant provided me down below. Hopefully it's going to put it on a Google Drive and share it so you could take a look at it. So if you have any more questions and you want to look at it more in detail, you can do so. As well, none of the information is financial advice, so make sure that whatever you do on this show, well, based on what I say in the show, or anything you listen to on our channel from Joey's mouth or our guest mouth, nobody on this channel, nobody is considered a financial advisor, and nothing we say can be considered anything remotely close to being financial advice. Do your own research, do your own due diligence. It only makes sense to do so. And with that being said, until next time, take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is May 18th, 2022, so there's going to be quite a bit we'll be talking about today. But before we go any further, a couple of things. Number one, our show is sponsored by ShakePay, the best place to buy and sell Bitcoin. So if you use our promo code below and you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, you will then be gifted $30 to your account. Not only that, you have the ability then to shake your phone for Satoshis, and which is partial Bitcoin or fractional Bitcoin. And they also have the ShakePay Visa card. So when you use your Visa card, your ShakePay Visa card, to purchase anything that you purchase on a daily basis, like gasoline or groceries, you'll get rewarded back 1% in Bitcoin. And also you could potentially get it all returned back to you in Bitcoin with a ShakePay contest, where they are rewarding lucky winners with the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin. So why not use our promo code below and sign up to ShakePay? It only makes sense. And the second thing is, please like and subscribe. Like the video and subscribe to the channel. We're trying to attract as many new people to the show. And also liking the video helps the video get pushed up to the top of people's recommendations. So please help us out. Please like, please subscribe. And if you want, comment below too. I'd like to know your thoughts on what we'll be talking about today. So with that, let's get hashing. So before we go any further, let's take a look to see the wreckage today. It was an absolute, well, not a total disaster. It was bad. We've had days like this in the past, and just another day where it's just pretty damn bad. So let's take a look at it. And we can see that we've had some Not too many on the green side. We had Liquid FinTech and Hello Power are the only two on my list here that are green, with Liquid being the Lightning Network-based company coming in at 4.55% in the green. Hello Pal, the crap coin miner. They mine Doge and Litecoin and all that garbage, coming in at 2.44% up. So other than that, a few of them were standing pat here at zero gain, and a ton on the red side. Look at Neptune Digital Assets, 10% down. CoinSmart, 10% down. Coinbase, almost 10% down after finally coming on the positive side yesterday. Mawson Infrastructure, again, near the bottom. They're either at the very bottom or at the very top. Very odd. Voyager Digital, Riot, Marathon, iMining. The list goes on and on. It's red all across the board. So if you had a red day today, you're not the only one, unless you are strictly into Liquid FinTech and Hello Pal. That's the only two that you'd probably be making a gain. So anything else is just a total loss. So makes it for good buying opportunity. DCA, buy in right now. It's on a low. What do you have to lose? I'd buy if I had more dry powder. I just keep buying whatever I can. I'm putting my kidney on sale on the market. If anyone needs a kidney slightly used, it's available. And the proceeds will going to be going into Bitcoin. I'm going to sell along if I need it. So we'll just see what else I can find over here that's available for sale. But yeah, so there you go. It's been a really, really rough day in the markets, and I don't know what's going to happen moving forward, but in the past 7-8 weeks, it's just been brutal if you're a Bitcoin miner, if you're into Bitcoin miners. And let's just move on. And leading things off is Cathedra Bitcoin. I talk about them positively since we've discovered them, especially when they were Fortress before they changed the name to Cathedra Bitcoin. They have great people running their company with Drew Armstrong, AJ Scalia, they're on the C-suite team. And also in the director's chair is sitting one Marty Bent. So they have him as long as a bunch of other directors that are leading the charge. So this company, they have the right folks leading them. And they made a decision today. They're going to be essentially getting capital here, $6.45 million. And this is going to go through come in through way of warrant shares. So, and it's a swath of them for a variety of different prices, as you can see here. So this is going to be exercised for a period of 4 months and 1 day. So this, they need this money, it looks like, for general corporate purposes and working capital. These are one of the ways that Bitcoin miners need to raise capital in order to keep the lights on. Cathedra has never, to my knowledge, sold or borrowed against their Bitcoin. I believe that they borrowed against their mining equipment, but never against their Bitcoin. So there's no loans against that, which is a good thing given the downturn in the price of Bitcoin. So with that being said, this is one of the ways that Bitcoin miners tend to get capital in order to keep the business running and even expand it. So Cathedra Bitcoin is no different. So I wouldn't view this to be as a negative. This is just one of the instruments that Bitcoin miners tend to use to just, do business. This is just a part of the process of being a Bitcoin miner. I like the fact that they're not selling their Bitcoin. They're holding on to it. They're keeping it because they understand that there is long-term potential to hold on, to continually hold on to Bitcoin, because just selling it, especially right now at the depressed prices, may not be the best business decision moving forward. If you believe that Bitcoin price will be going up in the next little while. So all the Bitcoin that they mine, I like the fact that they keep it on their reserves and they don't touch it. So that's what I have to say about Cathedra. Still very bullish in the company. This news, I'm not against it. Again, this is just one of the way Bitcoin miners just tend to do business. So it's a par for the course for the most part. And so it's a steady as she goes for Cathedra Bitcoin. And I want to talk about CleanSpark, and they posted a really cool picture or video on Twitter, and it's showing off that they are doing the immersion cooling for their S19J Pro models. What this enables them to do is to increase the efficiency of the miner equipment, the ASICs, and it also increases the lifespan because it's not running as hard and it's being cooled off much more efficiently than if it's just simply air-cooled. So by doing the immersion cooling, they're able to overclock their equipment get more out of each particular ASIC miner, and also potentially increase the lifespan of it depending on how much cooling is being done to it. So really cool stuff from CleanSpark. I love it. And this does come at a cost, though. It's not free. The cost to build this infrastructure, build the immersion setup, and to also to maintain it, it's not cheap. But CleanSpark believes that this is the best way to move forward in terms of ensuring that they get the best value for the buck from their ASICs miners. So if this is something that interests you, you like immersion cooling, and you think this is the way of the future, the fact that CleanSpark is doing this actively right now gives them a leg up in terms of other companies that may not be doing it. And so in case the industry as a whole moves towards immersion cooling, CleanSpark is ahead of the game because they've done the setup, they've done the research, and as the whole setup and whole technology continues to progress, they're ahead of the curve. So I like this from CleanSpark. I like CleanSpark as a company, and I like immersion cooling. It's really, really cool. I'm not 100% sure if this is the best way to move forward in terms of deploying capital. It's not for me to decide because I don't run one of these larger Bitcoin miners. But the fact that they're doing it seems to me that they believe that this is the best way to do it. And if CleanSpark's thinking of it, this is the best way to do it. Perhaps this may be the way of the future. So really, really cool stuff coming from CleanSpark, especially if you're an investor. I think I would be very bullish when I see this news that they're doing immersion cooling on their setup. So cool stuff. And to keep things moving, Galaxy Digital came out with a letter today to shareholders, and it talks about the Luna fiasco. Now, it's hard to see. I know it's very, very small print over here, so it's going to be hard for you to read this, especially if you're on a phone. I'm going to just give you the very, very important part here. So they're talking about what happened with Luna and UST, and Galaxy Digital was at one particular time holding a great deal of Luna on their reserves. Their CEO, Mike Novogratz, notoriously has a Luna tattoo on his arm, his left arm, I'm assuming, and the bicep area, but whatever that, I mean, that's just aside from the point. In terms of their Luna holdings, they said the following. Number one, keep a diversified portfolio. Number two, take profits along the way. Three, have a risk management framework. And four, understand that all investments happen in a macro framework. So what this leads everybody to believe is that they sold their Luna sometime before the flash crash took place in the Luna/UST network. So when they sold, unknown. How much they made from this? Again, unknown. But it looks like they no longer have a lot of exposure. They might still have a little bit of exposure to Luna, but they dumped a lot of their holdings along the way. So this, in terms of it's essentially worthless to the Luna right now. So it's rather good that they did this, because here's the tattoo that I was just mentioning. So it's just, you know, it's comical in a way. You could make of what it's worth. I don't want to poke fun, but in terms of Galaxy Digital and their Luna holdings, luckily for shareholders, it looks like they got rid of it. When they got rid of it, unknown. If they did it near the peak, who knows? But if they did, that would be absolutely fantastic for them, because that would give their shareholders the best reward on this investment. Hopefully they didn't sell it when it was too low and they lost their shirt on this. But that's essentially what I got from this Galaxy Digital release here. So their Terra Luna holdings, it's been diminished considerably, if not in totality, from their reserve. So that's it. That's all I got to say. We'll just move on. And last but not least is a story about Bitfarms. And there's a tweet that came out. But before I go there, I just want to make sure that everybody's aware that I am a huge Bitcoin bull for sure. But Bitfarms bull as well. I have a fairly large allocation in my portfolio associated to Bitfarms. So I hope they do well. And this is another reason why I think they're going to do well. So if you look at their cost for mining Bitcoin over the last 5 quarters, it's been pretty flat. Understandably, it's gone up a little bit over the past 3 quarters. But I would say if you look over the past 5 quarters, it's been flat. $8,700 is the cost to mine Bitcoin, which is really cheap given that they have cheap energy that they're taking advantage of in the province of Quebec and also in the countries of Argentina and Paraguay. So they're getting very cheap energy over there to mine Bitcoin. So they're moving their older equipment down there to take advantage of the very cheap energy rates that they have access to. So that's why I'm big on Bitfarms. It's very, very cheap energy. For the most part, most of their mining comes from North America, from in Quebec predominantly. So they're not exposed to geopolitical issues that might arise in other parts of the world. For example, if they were mining and predominantly mining in, say, Russia, you don't never know what's going to happen. Since they're in Quebec, you understand that, or you would expect that they wouldn't have some crazy things coming out in the future that would really impact their mining operations, because Quebec is in a very, Quebec itself is very stable, and Canada itself is also very stable. So you're not going to have some crazy thing come along and just sideswipe them. So I like this. This is really good news. And so if you're an investor of Bitfarms, you should be happy to see this. Although it's trending up in the past 3 quarters, over the past 5 quarters, I would say it's flat. So good news from Bitfarms. I'm still bullish on them. I'm going to keep continually being bullish on them, because I think that they have the right team behind them. Ben Gagnon is their chief mining officer. Listen to the interview we had on our show with him. He is a brilliant individual. He understands Bitcoin mining. He's the right guy to lead them, because he knows this stuff. So that's why I'm bullish on Bitfarms, and you should be too. And that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it informative. Make sure you are aware none of this information that I provide, that anybody else provides in this channel, is considered financial advice, because we are not financial advisors. And if you listen to us without doing your own research, you're just going to get smoked. So just make sure you do your own research. Do your own due diligence. That's the only way to really do business if you're going to park any money, especially after listening to what we're talking about. So with that being said, I guess we'll chat again later. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, hopefully in a show that will be wrapped up in about, on average, for 10 minutes. And I think we will achieve it this time around, because there's not much to talk about today on this beautiful Friday, May 20th, 2022. And before we go any further, two things. Number one, don't forget about our sponsor, ShakePay. And if you use our promo code below, you will be able to get $30 added to your ShakePay account if you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. Furthermore, you could shake your phone and get some Satoshis, which is fractional Bitcoin, added to your account. And also, you could use the ShakePay Visa card to collect more Bitcoin when you get 1% added to your stack for every purchase you do. So you could, if you buy gas or groceries or whatever, you get back 1% added to your ShakePay account in Bitcoin. So that's wonderful. And finally, there's a ShakePaid contest going on where you could get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin. So use the promo code. It only makes sense. ShakePay is a wonderful exchange, and they sponsor our show. So please help support us by using our promo code below. Last thing is, of course, please, I ask, like this video and subscribe to the channel. We need your help to try to get as many people on board to the Canadian Bitcoiners show and the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. So please, if you could like and subscribe, that would be fantastic. And with that being said, let's get hashing. Okay, before we go further, let's take this look to see who are the big winners and losers today. It's a kind of a mixed bag. So, yeah, let's take a peek what we have here. GlobalCare, which under the ticker HLTH, leading the pack, 33% gain, no news, don't know why. CryptoWorks, again, it's kind of into just about everything else now, not strictly Bitcoin, up 13%. Stronghold Digital, this is a big one. Again, not... no news today, but the fact that they went up 12%, have we finally hit rock bottom with Stronghold Digital? They've been absolutely wrecked after they announced they were not going to be achieving the estimated hash rate this year. So they adjusted their output or their estimated forecast. Investors didn't like that. That coupled with the fact that the markets as a whole went on a downturn, just absolutely obliterated Stronghold Digital. And their stock just got hammered in the past while. So here they are, 12% gain. Is this the beginning of a recovery? Well, we'll see. Blue Sky, 6%. Luxfolio, we had their former CEO, Dean Linden, on their show Really good guy, and we like Luxfolio, 5% up, almost 6% for today. So there's been a host of companies here that were under green, and I also want to just make note of Mawson, 2%. Usually the top or the bottom. This time it's kind of in the middle of the pack. On the flip side, the losers for today, well, there's a lot of them. Aqua down 15%. Argo down almost 10%. iMining, they are doing just about everything else besides Bitcoin mining, so 9% down. Canaan is the Bitcoin mining company, or the ASIC miner company that provides the ASIC miners, 8%. Yeah, Greenidge 7.87%, Sphere 3D 7.46. So it's been, it's not the greatest. So as you can see, it's a pretty much a mixed bag. More losers than there are winners as for today. The two that, or three I just like to point out again is Stronghold Digital. Wow, 12%. Mawson, usually the top or bottom, middle of the pack. And Coinbase at 1.88% down, almost like even for today. I would say that's a strong day for Coinbase given the recent performance over the past few weeks and maybe in the past couple of months. So there we go. That's the winners and losers for the day. So it's a kind of a mixed bag, and I'd love to know your thoughts to see what you're thinking about this. And this is all with the fact that the price of Bitcoin kind of went up a little bit for the day and it kind of went down. So I think that this is kind of it's kind of a wash. I kind of, given that it's not quite 50-50 in terms of gains and losses for these Bitcoin miners, but there's a fair number of gains, even though the price of Bitcoin took a little bit of a step back today. So is this good news going forward? We'll see. So leading things off, and I guess this is the only story I have, so it's the first and last story for today, is from Cathedra Bitcoin. And I talked about it on a previous episode where they were going to be raising $6.45 million. Well, it has been raised. It's been done very, very quickly. So it didn't take them long to achieve the number of $6.45 million. And so they announced that they're going to be using these proceeds for general corporate purposes and working capital. I talked about this in a previous episode. These are just one of the mechanisms. This is through warrant share and through shares. This is how they raised money this way. So this is one of the ways typically Bitcoin miners raise capital. Another is borrowing against Bitcoin or their ASICs. Another is selling the Bitcoin outright. So there's a few mechanisms Bitcoin miners can use to gather new capital. And, this is one of the ways that Cathedra Bitcoin has chosen to do so. So, definitely nothing bad against this. It's just, it is what it is. It's part of the game. And obviously they need this. It's a capital intensive type of business. They can't simply just sit around, wait for their Bitcoin to mature in terms of price, sell it, and expand their operation. Bitcoin miners got to be a little bit more aggressive in their approach. And by doing so, that enables them to keep up with their peers and their other Bitcoin miners out there. As the network itself continues to grow, the hash rate grows as well. These Bitcoin miners, like Cathedra Bitcoin, have to also deploy more capital and to ensure that their hash rate meets their competitors, or also exceeds it. That's preferable. So this is no cause for concern from Cathedra Bitcoin. So yeah, so that's basically it that I have to say. There's nothing else really on the docket to talk about. A really short episode. It's a quiet Friday. Too bad it was a red day for the most part, or at least there's some green. But with that being said, just want to say one last thing. Want to make sure that you are aware none of the information I provide on this channel is financial advice. None of the information Joey provides or any of our guests provide is considered financial advice. So make sure you do your own research and your own due diligence. It's the only thing that makes sense. And with that being said, we will talk again next week. So have a wonderful weekend and take care.